And as I give the title for this morning's message is Jesus, the Way Out. Jesus, the Way Out. Jesus, the Way Out. I believe here this morning that we could all be facing something that is not too positive that we're trying to get out of. Something that's been holding you down and that you want out of the way in order to do the very will of God. Amen? Keith, I want you here in the front row, baby. Tennessee be all right back there. He a grown man. Jesus, the Way Out. As we go to the book of Psalms, chapter 46, if you have not brought your Bible, it's going to be on the overhead screens, amen? The scriptures that we'll be getting preached on. And right immediately after the service, an invitation, you should just, there'll be an usher, and you can just come in through that door. And it's the room behind this wall here. And for those that are new, I want to meet with you. Amen. I want to meet with you. So immediately following the service, after the altar call, I'll make my way towards that room. And if you're new, don't be ashamed. I just want to say hello, introduce myself, maybe get a little bit of information, and just to see how we can accommodate where we're currently at this moment. Amen. See if we can help you in some way or another. Psalms 46:10. I know the presence of the Lord is here this morning. And that's crucial. That's very important that the presence of the Lord be here this morning. You see, it's in the presence of the Lord where we can learn how to be still. Amen. All week long, imagine the majority of y'all were going 100 miles an hour, going to work, coming back, taking care of children, doing this and that, and all the above. But right now, we're in a place in the temple of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, where Scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, love you, give you all the glory and all the honor for this beautiful day. And even if we're not feeling the way we would want to be feeling, or maybe if things ain't going the way we would want them to be going right now, the truth is this morning, as we're in your presence, Lord, we can be still and know that you are God. I pray, Lord, that you speak to that man, that woman, that youth member here this morning, and that you give them a way out this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Once again, I want to thank all of y'all for being here this morning, and I'm excited. It's a second week being back from the Mighty Men of Valor. And as I was starting to put the message together, I had all these thoughts from Mighty Men of Valor. And all of a sudden, I just started to put a different message together that I thought we would all need to hear. For all the great things that the Lord is currently doing, there's times that we need to be encouraged. There's times that times can get hard. We can get to the place where we're no longer in control. We can't change whatever it may be. And this is a good time to be still and to know that we serve a God that knows exactly where we're at this morning. I put here, it's hard to be still when things ain't going right within your life, within your marriage, within your family. It's hard to be still at times. It's hard to trust in God when you have a lack of understanding, a lack of control of what's taking place within your life or around your life that is affecting your life. And there's times in our life that it's hard to be still. As Scripture says, and know that I am God. I believe there's times when crises take place and things are happening, we try to work out in our ability. That's when I believe we work a little bit harder to try to resolve what may be currently taking place. That's the beauty of the presence of the Lord here this morning. Right now, you all are going to start thinking. As I start preaching the message, you're going to start getting thoughts. Amen. Some of you might have walked in with real bad thoughts, real bad thoughts. And by the end of this message, your mind's going to be getting renewed by the word of the Lord. You're going to start to hear fresh thoughts that come straight from the Lord to direct you and to get you out of what might be currently taking place right now within your walk with the Lord. It's in those hard times that the Lord wants us to, where the Lord wants to be made known. It's in those hard times where the Lord wants to draw us closer to Him. It's in those hard times where we find out, do I really put my trust in the Lord? It's in those hard times where a lot of times we put our trust in what we're able to do. It's in those hard times where God loves to make Himself made known in your life. And sometimes it's hard to receive that revelation at your house, within your family, maybe where the crisis may be taking place. But here this morning, we are in the temple of God, in the presence of God, where all the Lord is asking of us here this morning is simply to be still. To be still. And that He's going to prove Himself to each and every one of us that have an open mind, an open heart, and that are teachable here this morning. As we go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. And the Bible reads, no temptation has seized you, except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. At the end of verse 13, the Bible says, so that you can stand up under it. This phrase of a few words, stand up under, in the Greek means to endure. It means to endure. It means to endure so that you can stand up under it. Stand up under it in the Greek means to endure. Amen? Temptations, hard times, responded to correctly, allow you to endure. Allow you to become stronger. So whatever you may be facing here this day, they may not be too positive. We have good news to be encouraged this day. Whatever the temptation might be, The Bible says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I put here on my notes, how many feel this morning that you can't endure any longer in what you're facing? Sometimes we say stuff like, man, if this goes on one more day, that's it. I ain't going to put up with this any longer. I'm going to put my foot down. I can't make it no more. What's the use? She's never going to listen to me. He's never going to listen to me. I can't bear what I'm going through. And that's what the enemy would want us to think here this morning. That what you're going through, that there's no way out. That there's no way out, that there's no solution. You've tried it over and over. It's been years now. The situation is still taking place. And you've gotten to a place where you're saying things like, there's no use. That's it. I give up. I give up. Well, that's not what the word of the Lord says. On the second sentence says, it says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. As heavy as what you're bearing, as heavy as what you're going through right now, there's good news here this morning. God is saying, I'm not allowing what's taking place in your life right now to break you, but to make you. What you feel is too heavy, and there's no way out. God is going to use that very thing or person to allow you to endure, to become stronger, to have more wisdom, more knowledge and understanding. The very place and the very thing or person that the enemy is using to destroy you, it's what's going to make you. Standing up under, the Bible, in the Greek, it means to endure. There's so many people in this end times that we're living in their walk with the Lord that don't endure hardships and temptations. And they give up. And they try some other angle and then some other angle and some other way of doing things. But the good news here this day to each and every one of us is that the word of the Lord says that he will not give you, put a temptation too great that you cannot bear. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I have good news for you. Whatever you're facing here this morning, God's words here within this scripture is saying two things. One, that I've been speaking on, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Two, he will also provide a way out. It goes on to say there after, it says, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. He will also provide a way out. I want you to think of whatever it may be that is bringing conflict within your life here this day. And in your natural thinking, I want you to look at it right now and say, man, is there really a way out of this one? It might have been something that you've done wrong to create whatever this issue is. Or it might be somebody else's issue that's bringing conflict within your life here this morning. In your natural way of thinking, do you see a way out? And if I believe if we were to be very honest, a majority of us would say, no, I don't see a way out in the natural. Doing it my way, I don't see this getting any better. But when we see it as the Lord sees it, how does the Lord see it? The Lord says, what? It's bringing conflict your way. It's going to allow you to be strengthened. It's going to allow you to endure. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to get you out of what you think there's no out of. I'm providing a way out for you here this morning. But we're going to have to truly trust and believe in what the word of the Lord says. Every single temptation that attacks the believer is common to all men. I put here too many times, under temptation we can feel no one understands our situation. But the Bible clearly tells us that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So I ask a question here this morning, why do some make it and why do some don't make it? In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, whatever you're going through right now, you're not the first one that has gone through this or through this way before. It's not something so messed up that God's never seen it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 9 through 10 says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. We need to understand that the way out will always be forward. The way out of whatever you might be in right now will always be forward, which represents doing it God's way. We need to understand that the way out will always be forward. Doing it God's way. But too many times under temptation, we do it our way, which represents going backwards, represents pride, represents never getting your breakthrough. In taking God's way out, it will not only take you forward, but it will humble you. Too many times when we're going through something that we don't understand, it's so much easier at that point to take control of the situation. But as we do that, we're going backwards. We're doing it our way. And the enemy keeps you. But here, when we do it the Lord's way, and we really trust in the word of the Lord that says that He will not give you no temptation that you can't bear. That's good news here this morning. Nothing that is taking place within each and every one of our lives right now that might be negative, may not be fair, nothing It's too heavy for us to bear. That's Jesus' word to you and I here this morning. That should start, you know, raising up, you know, curiosity within your life. Is there really a way out of what I'm going through? My answer to you here this morning is yes. But you need to do it the Lord's way if you want to continue to go forward. And anytime, whatever we're going through, anytime we do it the Lord's way, anytime we go forward, in whatever that area might be, the Lord is going to use it to humble you. He's going to use whatever situation you're going through, whatever you're thinking about. If you respond correctly, He's not only going to take you forward, but He's going to humble you. And many would rather go backwards, do it their way, because in the days we live in, nobody wants to be humbled. At times, the way we get humbled is by being corrected, even to the place of being rebuked for doing it your way, for me doing it my way. We need to know that there's good news here this morning. To whatever you may be going through, the Lord's saying, I'm making a way out for you. And I'm going to use whatever you're going through to allow you to endure, to become stronger. Being humbled comes against the flesh, comes against the way we want to do things. Nobody wants to be humbled, so if you don't want to be humbled, it's very hard for the Lord to change you, to transform your life. You got to look at whatever you're going through and saying that I want to live like this the rest of my life. When Jesus here this morning is giving a way out, He's given a way out. There's nothing that you're facing right now that the Lord can't see you on out of it. Nothing. That's a good promise right there to hold on to. A very good promise to hold on to. That what you're going through right now, Jesus has a way out for you. His very word says it. That He will not allow you to bear something you can't do. We need to be encouraged here this morning through God's word. Because if we keep thinking the way we think and operating the way we operate, it's very easy to stay discouraged instead of encouraged. How many got nothing to lose here this morning in trusting in the promises of God? It's your way out of whatever you may be going through. It's your way out. We all need at times a way out. And we all need at times to be humbled. In order to go forward, sometimes we got to make some changes within our lives. In the book of Psalms, chapter 25, I'm speaking about being humbled. Psalms 25, verse 9, the Bible reads that He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Remember, His way represents, you know, the way out of whatever you might be facing. How does He lead you? By His way? By humbling you. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Matthew 23:12. Praise the Lord. That's the wrong one. That's 23:12. It sure is. No, that's 23:13. I need 23:12. If you can get it. Matthew 23:12. And the Bible reads, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted, will go forward within their lives." The opposite word of being humbled is pride. Too many times we want everybody else to change, but we don't want to make no changes ourselves. Or too many times we wait for that other individual to make the changes. Then you say, "Then you got to show me first, then I'll change." We need to be humbled. We're very prideful people, selfish people. And in order to be led by the Lord and exalted by the Lord and to go forward in our walk with the Lord, we're going to have to eat humble pie. There's no way around it. I know so many people that remain prideful. They learn the whole Word of God. They learn the Bible. They learn how to pray. But they remain prideful, very prideful. Prideful says that, you know, "I'm in control. Don't tell me what to do. I already know what to do. I don't need you to tell me what to do." I know what I'm doing. Mom, Dad, Man, like, get over it. And the room is still all messy. Whatever they've asked of you still hasn't been done. And you look at us like we're retarded or something like. Man, they treat me like I was born yesterday. It's pride. Nobody can lead you. I'm speaking about the youth. But there's some adults in here right now that nobody can lead you. Nobody can correct you to guide you and to take you forward in life. I always say we continue to get mad, we have pride in our lives. I've tried to lead many people and they have not taken heed to my counsel. So they continue to go backwards. They continue to go back. Because every time you do it your way, you think you got in control, but you're really going back. You keep going back. I shared with the leadership here this morning, and I got plenty of time here. I want to teach each and every one of us and what to do. And how to be led by the Lord to, in order to Him to make a way and for you to humble yourself, to follow Him, to get out of the mess you might be currently in here this morning, that you might be in. I was preaching at Pastor Herb's church a couple of Sundays ago, and as I was preaching on a portion of Scripture, I knew the Lord gave me, to me it was a revelation, what He gave me. And I want to share it with you this morning. I shared it with the leadership downstairs. Amen. As we go to the 1 Samuel chapter 16. So how do we then respond correctly under temptation? To be humbled and to be led of the Lord. I need everyone to listen very carefully right now. It was in church where I got breakthroughs, where I learned to be still and to know that God was truly God and that He was leading my life and getting me out of the rut I had been in for so many years. 1 Samuel, I'm going to touch on David real quick to get where I want to go to. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. This is little David here. I was speaking to the leadership that this is before chapter 17 comes around. Chapter 17 is where he goes and fights Goliath and everything as a kid. But this is still before he was known at this time right now. The scripture, this is before he was known. There was a servant that knew that he knew how to play a harp. At this point of his life, his dad didn't know of the potential that was in his son. His brothers that were warriors didn't know the potential that young David had. King Saul didn't have a clue of the potential that lied within the young life of young David. The commanding officer of Israel did not have a clue of what the potential that little David had within his life. Here, verse 18 speaks of David. This is before he fights Goliath and becomes worldwide known of defeating the giant called Goliath. This is young David in the shepherd's field, being obedient, doing the right things, being teachable, growing from glory to glory. The Bible reads, one of the servants answered, "I have seen the son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is brave." He knows how to play the harp. He's brave, a brave man, and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking man. And the last line there reads, "And the Lord is with him." This is young David before he becomes worldwide known as taking out Goliath. In verse 12, we're still in chapter 16, in verse 12 of 1 Samuel. At this time, Saul, the king, was in disobedience. And the Lord had removed his spirit from the king at this time. And Samuel had been called of God to go forth and to anoint one that came from the family of Jesse. I believe there was seven in all, seven or eight sons, amen? And they would bring them all out. And they would start with the son, the oldest, that looked more impressive, that was tall, that surely looked like the king to be, to anoint. And God would speak through Samuel and say, "No, he's not the one." They would bring the next one. "He's not the one." All the sons of Jesse would go through, and then he would say, "Are you sure you don't have another son?" That's when they brought up young little David, was taking care of the few sheep in the shepherd's field. And they told him, "Bring them. Bring them, because surely not one of these is the one that I am to anoint." So in verse 12 it says, "So he sent and had him brought in." He was ruddy, with a fine appearance, and handsome, had handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers that looked like the ones, amen? In the presence of his brother, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. In power. Here, young David would be anointed still in chapter 16. Goliath is nowhere yet to be seen by young David. Here, young David would be anointed. And I asked myself, why was it young David that was anointed? Young David, if you want to be able to get the victory and to be humbled by God, to be anointed of God, and to be led out of whatever you're going through currently right now, it's going to take obedience. Not just obedience, but obedience in the little things. This is the revelation I want to give you here this morning. Too many times we're focused on the fight or what the devil is doing. Whatever might be a Goliath to you, something that is big that you're facing. Goliath hadn't even come on the scene yet. David was a young boy, but he was growing in the shepherd's field. He was taking care, in other words, he was taking care of the little things. He was being obedient in the little things within his life. Too many times, we want the big things. We want to be known in the church. We want a name in the church. We want a title in the church. Here within the shepherd's field, young David was not even recognized or acknowledged. When all the brothers, his brothers were called out for the Lord to choose through Samuel who's to be the anointed, to get anointed. It's in the little things we're capable of doing. It's in the little things in your life. Too many times we're trying to change the big things when yet we're overlooking the little things as if they have no power or no purpose in changing what is big. So we stay focused on what is big. That usually is what the enemy's doing. And we disregard the little things, the little changes that God wants to do in our lives. We want to go to work. We want to get the paycheck. We want to pay the bills, the big things, the big things. But there's little things within your life that you have the wisdom and the power today to change. Here, young David would be anointed even before chapter 17, the giant Goliath would come around. Young David was anointed because he was taking care of business in the little things in his life. I look back on my life when I got saved, fresh out of prison, full-blown drug addict. And I look back and I try to figure out how was God able to bring victory to my life, to show me the way out. How was I able to actually follow Him and humble myself from being used to doing things a certain way all my life? How would I ever get out of addiction? How would I ever get out of just being with one woman and not being with all of them? How would I ever get a breakthrough of being a big drug dealer and having to have a normal job like everybody else? And as I look back on my life as a new convert, I was preaching in Salinas trying to make a point with Pastor Herb's people. As I look back, God anointed my life when I was cutting the grass, when I was cleaning the toilets, when I was doing all the little things in the church that nobody really wanted to do because they were better than that. They were about to clean a toilet, mow the grass. I got my own grass to mow at the house. And I would start, I don't know why, I would start mowing grass at the church. I would start working hard at the church. I would start getting involved in the church. And all these things, even though I was fresh out of prison, I still had a prison mentality. I still had a warped mentality, a poverty mentality, a dope fiend mentality. And even though my mind was still messed up, I was able still to mow grass. I was able to clean toilets. I was able to start partaking of what the church had to offer. And I really believe, as I look back in my life, that it was those little areas that I was doing. It was those little areas that God was anointing in my life. I didn't want nothing to do with the pulpit. I didn't want nothing with being a leader. I was just so happy that I was off drugs that I wanted to pay back and I wanted to do something, even if it meant the minimum of cutting grass and cleaning toilets and taking care of the house of God. It's very important to your life that you get involved with the things of the church. These areas you're able to do, but sometimes we say, how is that going to change the situation I'm in? Young David was anointed. I put here, it's the small areas that bring no recognition to man. David wasn't known, amen? I'm going to skip that, but there was one where he was knocking out Goliath and nobody knew who he was. The Bible says, nobody knew who he was. Saul didn't know. The commander and officer, Abner, didn't know. It says he's the son of Jesse. It's the small areas that bring no recognition to man, but that gets God's attention. Too many times we're trying to do something big to get man's approval. I was mowing church grass when nobody was at the church. I was cleaning the church when nobody was. It was not even church service day. But within me, I knew it was right. I wasn't in the street corner no more. I wasn't in prison no more. I stopped cussing. I stopped smoking cigarettes. Instead of looking at 1,000 girls, I was down to about looking at 100 girls. I was going forward. It's the small areas within our life that God anoints for us to accomplish great things of God. Too many of us want to start at the top of the ladder, a high, big, paying job. I can't work for, say, $8 an hour. I'm better than that. Pride. Get to work. The Bible in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, who despises the day of small things? No, translation says, a small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. We started off as a ministry here in Milwaukee, very teensy, wincy, small. A storefront. Nothing was going on but car washes. Too many times we despise the small areas and the small things in our life due to pride within our lives. We feel we're better than that. Get someone else to do it. Get the rehab to do it. I believe it was in the rehab also where my life was anointed. It wasn't in the church. It was in the rehab where God would anoint my life. As I look back, as he saw me working with the men nonstop, 24/7, not really knowing what I was doing, but my heart was all in it. My heart was all in it. I really believe, as I thought I was the anointing, the man with oil. I had a big oil jug. I anointed the man all the time. I've seen it in the Bible. I've seen my pastor do it at church. I said, there must be something in that oil. So I would go and, you know, borrow some, amen? And I would take it back to the man's home, and I said, is the pastor's doing it? I didn't know it was, I heard the word, it's symbolic, and I didn't know what that meant and everything. But all I know that every time he did it to me, something was working. Something was taking me forward, and I didn't have to figure out what was in that oil, whether it was from Israel or baby oil or tanning oil. All I knew that it was working, and I was going to rub it on the man in the home. And little did I know, as I was anointing the man, 25 to 30 at all times, anointing all these men, sweating, man, anointing these guys and yelling at the top of my lungs, anointing them all. Little did I know, as I was anointing them, God was anointing my life with power. He was allowing me to endure, to do something that I wouldn't be able to do in the physical ability. Even though I could run with the devil 24/7, 5-6 days without eating or sleeping, God was allowing me to be filled with his spirit, with his ability to do things that I would never be able to do in the natural ability, that I would never be able to do under the spirit of pride. That's why I always say, stay upon God's business. Because as you take care of God's business, he's taking care of your business. In other words, he's anointing you as you do his will. Your anointing comes by reaching out to others. Young David was reaching out to the sheep. He was being obedient in the little things. It was the little things that anointed him. The little things. Don't despise small beginnings, the Bible tells us. Sometimes a given assignment and you think you're so much greater than you. All right, amen, Pastor. Yeah, I got it. I got it, Pastor. And I said, oh, you prideful son of mine. The way they answer gives it all away. I can tell a sister, and they're about to say, can you get her? I'll do it. Amen, Pastor. I got it. I got it, Pastor. I got it. Pride. It's the small areas within our life that God anoints for us to be able to accomplish the great things of God. Stop trying to figure out that big thing you're facing right now. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out and take care of the little things that God convicting you right now as I speak. Those little things that you have the ability and the power and the wisdom to change today. Don't despise today. Small beginnings. There's areas right now within our lives that we can change today. To allow the favor of the Lord to fall upon our lives, the favor of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. When they fall upon your life, you can do stuff wrong and it'll still come out right. That's what my pastor always said about me. I remember I said, amen, but then I really thought about, what did he really mean when he said that? It's the little things that the enemy uses to put people in bondage. When I started with drugs, I wasn't doing an eight ball coming out the gates. I did a little line. I did another little line a couple of months later. It was the little things that the enemy was using. But all I could see was me in bondage at the end. But the enemy was using that cigarette, that first beer I drank. See, the enemy uses small things, and so does God. It's getting good now. Getting good. Just got another one right now. And too many times, if we don't look at the little things that God wants us to see, or we do the little things that the devil wants us to do, before you know it, there's a giant before you. And if you don't know how to take care of the little things, you're surely not going to be able to deal with the giant before you. David first learned how to take care and be obedient in the little things, even though he wasn't recognized at all, even by his own family, even by his own father. Yet the eye of the Lord was upon little young David. It says he got the right heart right there. He's got the right servant's heart right there. He's the one that I choose to anoint. I want you to think right now. What is it that's small? Not that's great. What is it that's small that the enemy could be using right now in your life? Because he's so good to get you to focus in on whatever the big thing is. But I believe sometimes we just got to back up a little bit, and go to the source of the problem. Where did it originate at? Where did it start at? And that will be the root and the source, and that's where you got to hit it. And usually to pull it by the root, it'll be something very small. To get whatever the enemy is using right now, it's usually something very, very small, works of disobedience that you're doing that will keep you in bondage, that will keep you going backwards instead of forward. Because in order to follow the ways of the Lord, you need to be humbled. We need to humble ourselves. What is it? God wants to be made known this day in your life. God wants to be made known this day through your life. Don't let the little things keep you from doing great things for God's glory and God's honor. It's little things. Little things. See, when we change those little things, nobody recognizes them. You can do 1,000 little things and it still don't look like nothing's changing in your life. But it's an inner work that the Lord is doing. Too many times we're trying to get approval by an outer appearance, an outer work that we're doing. But all those little things are changing within our lives. They're changing us within, on the inside. Where maybe man can't see, but God can. Stop trying to win the approval of man. And receive the anointing that God has to empower your life. I have another verse, but I'm not going to use it. I think we're good to go right now. I want the worship team to come forward, please. The Lord wants to be made known right now. We know we serve a big God, and too many times we're trying to do big things. The way God wants to be made known here this day is by The little things. Our great God wants to be known, made known this day through the little things. Too many times we're trying to figure out big things and we keep hitting away at that big thing. We can't even scratch the surface. God's saying, let's start taking care of the little things. Let's start getting involved in the church. We'll be meeting with you in the green room. I believe there's men and women here that have gone through some ups and downs, but you're back. And I believe it's time that you come to make your way to me and my wife and say, Pastor, I want to do the little things. I want to get back to the little things. I want to get back to the Lord anointing my life. I want to get back to fulfilling the purpose through the little things. The little things. Don't despise small beginnings. We got life groups right now. We're we're making contact with new people right now, those that are coming back right now. We have an assimilation right now to get you involved, not just to put you to work, but to get your life anointed of God, to be empowered of God. So the army of God may grow, and when we go to the rallies, we'll be not only in a greater number, but in a greater anointing. A greater anointing to do the work of the Lord. Old saying from the Mighty Man, it's an old one, but you can accomplish more in prayer than you can through a lot of hard work. There's a lot of you right now working really hard, working all kinds of hours. But prayer is able to accomplish more than working hard and working hard and working hard. The little things. Prayer is something that we can all do. We all need to learn how to be still and to know that God is God. We all need to place ourselves like right now in the presence of the Lord, where I'm just talking whatever comes to me. We need to establish this atmosphere within our homes. We need to learn how to sit and be still within our homes. Not just once a week on a Sunday will never be enough. Is it a good start? Yes. The little things. We want this atmosphere within our homes. We want prayer in our homes. We want Bibles opened up in our homes. We want taking notes in our homes. But too many times, what is that going to do? What's that going to do? Go back to the opening scripture, please. Not the Psalms one, but the one on Corinthians. The Corinthians scripture, 10:13 or something like that. Jesus left out of the picture. Jesus ain't a little thing. He's big. Jesus left out of the picture. Your temptation will be too much for you to bear. Because he ain't going to be able to make a way for you. But he's so powerful that through his grace and mercy, he can make a way for a man that is out of the presence of God, out of the perfect will of God, a woman that is struggling right now. I want to let you know that this morning you have gotten the answer. You have gotten good news to your bad news. It's taking care of the little things. Stop saying you can't do it. Stop saying you can't change. It's the little things. Jesus is saying, take care of the little things and leave the big things to me. And I will raise you up to be a powerful, anointed man of God. And I will raise you up to be a powerful woman of God. And I will raise you up to be a powerful youth of God. Let me take care of the big things. I want your wife, God's saying. I want your husband, God is saying. I want your children. Those are big areas that too many people try to work out on their ability. Jesus saying, do the little things. Start cleaning your room, youth. Start throwing the trash out, youth. Prayfully, if this message hits, man, my trash will be thrown by the time I get home. But I've been throwing it out every day since we've been on this property. When I got a strong 21-year-old son, I throw the trash out. It can be in the hallway, thrown right by the door just to do a dunk. And the dunk can't even take place with the trash. It's the little things. The enemy wants us focusing on the big things. He gives us a false hope to try to change the big things. When the truth is, that's God's there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else represents the children, the marriage and ministry and all that stuff. He he's saying, put me first. That sounds like a big thing to put Jesus first for a type of people that we used to be. But putting Jesus first, each and every one of us can do it. That's a small thing to put something great, someone big in your life. Hey, all you got to do is sit down 10, 15 minutes at the house and just be still, and he will prove himself to be the God of your life. Sometimes we just got to slow down and be still and come to that chair with the temptation all upon you and just start calling out to the Lord. Too many want the breakthrough, too many want the miracle, but you can't even do the little things. When God has called us to serve, we got to learn how to serve. That's why it's so good to be in the rehab. Even if you got to work a lot, that's a good thing. Director was feeling guilty. I said, all I know, Genesis says he worked 6 days and took one day rest. I got biblical. It's the little things. You know how I get victory? By sitting in my office in a chair, in my pajamas or whatever, and putting my feet up on a stool. That's the way I have victory now for 18 years. It was something I could do when I came out of prison, and it's something still I do 18 years later. Spending time with God allows you to truly prioritize what the root is, what the source is. See, when you hit the root and hit the source, then God is able to lead you out. But he's going to humble you. He's going to humble you as we stand this beautiful